Tunisia's political crisis is deepening. Thousands have rallied against the president's rule. So, could the nation return to authoritarianism? And are the president's supporters running out of patience? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Imran Khan. 10 years ago, mass protests pushed Tunisia's longtime leader, Zine El Abidine Ben Ali, from power. That was the start of what would become the Arab Spring. But now, some are worried that the country could return to authoritarianism. Thousands have rallied in the capital, Tunis, for a second time since the president seized executive power in July. Kais Saied sacked the prime minister and suspended parliament, saying it was needed to fix Tunisia's political and economic problems. And he's since consolidated his power further, deciding to rule by decree. Now, a small number of his supporters have held a rival protest. We'll bring in our guest in just a moment. But first, this report by Alexei O'Brien.
Under a heavy police presence, crowds gathered on the Tunisian capital's main boulevard to protest against the president. Their anger's been growing since July, when Kais Saied suspended parliament and sacked the prime minister. 2 months on, there's still no parliament, no prime minister, and people here say no plan to improve their lives.
He's acting like he is the sun that is rising on the country, the general prosecutor, the president, the parliament, the government. He's acting like he is everything. The Tunisian people and its movement don't want Kais Saied.
President Saied says his actions were needed to address economic stagnation and a poor response to the coronavirus. His critics are calling it a coup. And Saied tightened his grip on power on Wednesday, announcing he'd rule by decree and ignore parts of the constitution. But that constitution was a hard-fought product of the 2011 revolution that triggered the so-called Arab Spring. Protesters say the president, who's a constitutional law professor, is endangering the progress that's been made, calling his actions a betrayal of democracy.
We need to go back to the constitution. We need to go back to the rule of law. We are a democracy, and nobody has the right to break this system, break this democratic system.
Tunisia's largest political party, ENAHDA, is facing a crisis of its own. More than 100 party officials announced their resignation on Saturday, accusing its leadership of failing to counter Saied's actions.
It's quite clear that the political elite or the political sphere are they didn't understand or they didn't assimilate the huge psychological shock and the huge impact of the July 25th decision and the 113 people there that resigned yesterday from ENAHDA. They were in conflict with the president of ENAHDA months before July 25th.
Local and international human rights groups have condemned Saied's power grab, warning of a slide towards authoritarianism. But there have also been demonstrations in support of the president. Kais Saied has promised to uphold people's rights. But there are still fears here of a return to absolute one-man rule. Alexei O'Brien, Al Jazeera.
Let's bring in our guests. In Tunis, Amel Azouz, an independent politician and former Secretary of State for International Cooperation. In Doha, Nouradin Miladi, Professor of Media and Communication at Qatar University. And also in Tunis, Riyad Ghadafali, a lawyer and political activist. A warm welcome to you all. I'd like to begin in Tunis with Amel Azouz. Amel, you were on this show just over a week ago. Back then, you were actually a politician for ENAHDA. You've now since resigned. Just tell us why.
Okay, very, very briefly. Thank you for the invitation, first of all. But very, very briefly, I will go on two principal reasons mentioned in our letters of resignation. The first is internal. We've been trying for long years to reform the party for a better governance and to have a democracy, because democracy is not really respected in the party. We were against the monopoly of powers inside the party and for many political choices. We fought for years. Me personally, I've been in this trend of opposition or wanting reform since the 10th Congress in 2016. So we have to admit today that we failed in changing anything or changing reforming this party. The second is that the choices taken by another party, the political choices especially, we admit we were part of those choices because we were inside the party. Willy-nilly, we assume some of these responsibilities. Those choices have led to the scene we saw on July the 25th. Now Nahda, with the present image, the image you see in Nahda is an isolated Nahda, a Nahda that cannot really get involved in this movement, this effervescence against the danger of dictatorship, which is coming very, very quickly in Tunisia.
Let's take a look at a couple of those reasons. Firstly, have you given up on Ennahda completely, and have you destroyed any internal competition, any internal pressure that you could have put on President Kais Saied by simply being a member of the party? You've simply just given up, haven't you?
No, we have not given up. We have fought for a long time, and even after July the 25th, we tried, we did our best and asked the leadership, the official leadership of the party, to move apart just a little bit so that a new leadership takes its turn in leading the party. We asked for a change, a radical change in the executive board. However, we found response to what we need and what the party need. So I think we didn't really we didn't give up easily. No, we did our best for a long time. Sorry, and even after the coup, I call coup, of course, since a long time I've called coup. Even after the coup, we did our best to change for the best, but unfortunately nobody listened.
Okay. Riyad Ghurfali, also in Tunis, when mass resignations like this happen from a ruling party, two things can happen. Either the ruling party becomes weaker or the ruling party can become stronger because one man consolidates power. What do you think is going to happen here?
Certainly. I think it does weak the opposition to Kais Saied, but that's internal to Nahda. I mean, I can't judge what is happening in the Nahda. I mean, they are. I hope they will find a way to arrange things. But in my mind, I think it does weaken the opposition.
But if it weakens the opposition, Riyad, what does that mean in practical terms for the protest movement, for the people who want to come out on the streets? Are we going to see more of that kind of thing now, or are we going to see less of it because there is no effective opposition, do you think?
First, let me emphasize on the fact that I spent the three quarters of my life opposing Ennahda ideologically. So when I said it weakened, I mean, I'm not defending Ennahda, or it's just, for me, it's an objective fact. For your question, I mean, it's hard to say for now. It's hard to say. We will see how things will evaluate, but one more time, I mean, more we have movement, more we have division. I mean, that's the way Ben Ali ruled Tunisia for 23 years, because the opposition was always, how should I say, terribly divided.
Well, let's put that to Amal. I mean, Amal, is the opposition divided now? Is the opposition completely fraught?
Let me, if you don't mind, I'd like to interact a little bit with your guest in Tunis. with the question of weakening the opposition. I'd like to ask him, does anyone today, or just I ask myself, you know, does anyone today in the spectrum, in the political spectrum, is willing to collaborate with another? Nobody is willing to collaborate with another. The position of another after 25th of July is fluctuating, if you want. Nothing is clear. So I think we have tried to change things so that another will have this image in front of people and in front of the political elite and political class that they have changed. Another has been, of course, not only another, of course, but because today we are talking about another, and please, I don't like to focus too much on another. Another, for me, it's past, it's from the past now, but it was not only another responsible of that bad image, of that bad scene we had before the 25th of July, and which led to the 25th of July. So people today, and even the political elite and political class, they say that they responsibilize, if you want, the leadership of another for what happened in the country. So can you imagine that such a class would collaborate again
we will, Nuruddin, you've been very patient with us. We will bring you in just a second, but I would like Riyad Ghirfali just to react to Amal's comments.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. First, ma'am, I understand, I respect all what you said, but the question was, does what happened, does the resign of the 100 weaken the opposition? I said, yes, I'm not judging what you are doing. There are several people that I do appreciate among those who has resigned, Samir Dilou, Mekki, and others. Okay, I don't share their ideology, but I do respect them. And I wasn't judging you saying that what you've done is wrong or right. I just said that for the question was, does it weaken? I said, yeah. For me, it was an objective. Fact.
Well, let's bring in Nuruddin Miladi here. He's a professor of media and communication at Qatar University. You've heard what our two guests in Tunis have said. What do you think the future is? Is it a weakened opposition and a consolidating of power by Kais Saied, who's going to simply act the same way Ben Ali did in the past?
Thank you for the invite. I mean, first of all, just to make a quick comment with regard to what I've heard from my colleagues in Tunisia. I mean, certainly the issue is much bigger, in my view, than another itself. Yes, another has got its own internal problems in terms of governing itself from within and also ruling the government for the last 10 years or whatever, although its direct impact on the government was very little. Now, the fact that over 100 of its members resigned 2 days ago is a real issue. But my opinion is no other political party running the government in Tunisia during the democratic transition would have found it easy, an easy ride to succeed in leading Tunisia to a proper democracy. I think the anti-revolution forces within and outside the country are humongous. And this is why Mansour Marzouki, for example, he was challenged very much. Even the government of Essebsi afterwards. And then you have all of the successive governments for the last 10 years. They found it tough to implement the vision that they wanted. The interference of some of the external powers is very well known now. External funding is very well known for people who
sounds like you're justifying Kais Saied's actions. Are you?
Oh, certainly not. I mean, definitely, I consider the move on the 25th of July a coup on the constitution of Tunisia. The ABC of democracy around the world says no political leader, whether a prime minister or head of state, should be able to do what Kais Saied has done to the Tunisian politics. Constitutions around the world are sacred. And they are ratified by the people, and no one leader should simply, in an in, in, in a very simple way, just marginalize it. I think what he did was totally wrong, and it is a recipe for dictatorship. Since the 25th of July, Qais Saied has been reinforcing his view, first of all, to marginalize and rewrite the constitution. And he recently, on the 22nd of this month, he said it very, very clearly that he's going to go back to the constitution of 1956. That has been very, very worrying signal to all political parties and anyone interested in the democracy in Tunisia. And then secondly, Qais Saied has been kind of consolidating all powers in his hand, leading the way towards a formula of the rule of Ben Ali and before him Al-Habib Bourguiba. And this is exactly what we had during the last few decades of their rule.
Let's put that to our other guests. Amal, I want to begin with you first. A recipe for a dictator. Nuruddin Maladi's exact words. Do you think that is the case? And if it is, how are you going to fight against that? What is your strategy now that you're not part of a wider political party? How are you going to do that as an independent?
Yes.
Can you?
Yes. Let me first of all remind you and remind myself that this is a political transition. It's a democratic transition. I mean, this experience, what happened in Tunisia, happened elsewhere. And all the experience in the world, in the history of the humankind of transitions and revolutions, we have this kind of revolution and counter-revolution, the old and the new. And this is the essence of the crisis itself. Just a little bit interacting with your guest in Doha. The solution, I think, and this is if I continue with what I started and your guest Riyadh also in Tunis started, I do understand, and I did understand what he said concerning the weakening of the opposition. What happened yesterday and what happened the week before is but a beginning of this effervescence. One of the leaders of this effervescence or of this movement, if you want, or this moving, has called it the 18th of September in a way of parallelism, if you want, with the 18th of October. This is when the opposition against Ben Ali came together before 2011.
Sorry,
coalition.
I'm going to stop you there because I do want an answer from you when it comes to strategy. Is your strategy then, as an independent politician, to try and use civil disobedience, civil protests, to try and get Qais Saied out of power? What's your actual strategy? Not the theory. What are you actually going to do?
Yes. At present, what we see is, first of all, getting involved as much as possible in any movement, either virtual or real, in defending democracy and fighting against any possible return of dictatorship in Tunisia. I've been present on Facebook. I've been present in the streets since we started these movements. And I think we have no other solution but giving these strong messages that this what Mr. Saied called the popular legitimacy has collapsed. If you did what you did on the 25th of July and on 22nd of September because of what you call the popular legitimacy, there are other people also asking you to step down and to respect the revolution and respect the constitution. I'm sorry. So I think we need to pass these messages and the benefits from these.
Sorry, Amal, we are running out of time, and I do want to come to our other guests. Riyadh Ghulfali, you want to say something there. Is this strategy going to play out well? Civil disobedience. Is there a legal recourse? What other strategies are there for the opposition?
First of all, I just want to emphasize on something. Now it's 2 months since the coup of Qais Saied, and for me, it's a coup. Towards the law, there is no doubt about that. And since 2 months, we saw the most serious demonstration yesterday, which means 2 months after this coup. And we may think that Tunisians are more or less powerless, etc. But I just want to remind you, what happened is absolutely, absolutely unimaginable. I mean, no one ever thought that this could be possible. And I just want to remind, in May, I mean, there was a leak about a coup in Tunisia. I don't know if Al Jazeera talked about that, but we all laughed. I personally, literally laughed about that document, the top secret, that leaked from Carthage. And now, I mean, Tunisia is really a Pacific country. I just want to remind you that for much less than that in the U.S., in the end of Trump term, people almost, it's not almost, they took their firearms. And in Tunisia for now, I mean, there was that moment of expectation, that moment where people are really digesting the coup. But from now on, I think, and what we saw yesterday is just the beginning of the real protest against Qais Saied. And that's great, because it's really not violent. And I'm really, how should I say, I do believe that the Tunisian army, neutral as it is, I mean, they will never shoot people on the street.
Nuruddin, the fact of the matter is that Qais Saied has a huge amount of political support still. He's still popular in parts of the country. So there is support for him. Our guests in Tunis are talking about revolutions and counter and civil disobedience as a way of dislodging him from power. But with this level of political support, it's going to take a bit more than protests on the street, isn't it?
Well, first of all, he doesn't have much political support. I mean, he deluded the Tunisian electorates in doing the elections by giving lots of promises, and all of those promises, they have proven now that they are fake. So I do not agree with the contention that he has political support. He's got all powers in his hand now, and he's turning into a populist like Donald Trump in terms of attracting the public through a kind of emotional appeals and so forth. I think the it does. I mean, civil, not disobedience, but civil action, as called by the major political parties now, and also civil society organizations, should continue and should step up, in my opinion. It will change the picture. It will be the solution. There is no other solution. I'm glad that Tunisians, they don't resort to the use of force in any form of changes, even during the dark times of Ben Ali. The little worry I have, to be honest, is the actual fact that Qais Saied has managed to bring the army slightly nearer politics. On the 25th of July, when he used the army, and I use the word used the army, to block the parliament and also to shut down the government itself, is a very worrying sign. That means this has never happened in the history of Tunisia. Even during the times of Ben Ali or Habib Bourguiba, the constitution of Tunisia always kept the army neutral from any political affiliation or political involvement. The army in Tunisia does not vote, which is very, very interesting. Now, I think Qais Saied, worryingly, according to...
Sorry, just very quickly, Nuruddin. Sorry, very, very quickly. We have run out of time. We have run out of time, but I do want to get response from Riyad Ghulfari. You're waving your hands around please. When it comes to the army. What's going on there?
I mean, I wrote a paper about the position of the army, and I don't agree with my friend. I mean, I cannot accept that the army get and put itself in the position of a constitutional court. The supreme leader of the army is the president of the republic, who is still now Qais Saied. I'm totally opposed to Qais Saied, but I would never, ever want the army to get involved in a constitutional issue, because when she will start to do that, I mean, we will start to be ruled by the army. Now, I say? I say the army is there because there's the president. But the day when people will be on the street, I mean, the army will be neutral. I mean, the army almost says, okay, this is a political issue. I mean, make your mind between the party, between the civil society, and, well, that's it.
Okay. Well, I want to thank all our guests, Amel Azouz, Nuruddin Miladi, and Riyad Ghurfali. And I want to thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. And you can also join the conversation on Twitter. We are @AJInsideStory. From me, Imran Khan, and the entire team here, bye for now.